Welcome to My Therapist Is Out, an open space therapy collective podcast. We are your hub for queer and trans mental health care. Each episode, we talk with one of our open space therapists or LGBTQ community member about mental health and building community. I am your host, Renee Johnson, they, them. Founder of Open Space Therapy Collective, I'm a licensed therapist and an art therapist. I specialize in working with queer artists who are exploring their gender identity and recovering from complex trauma. This week, we are talking with Tara Friedman, she, her. Tara is an associate therapist with Open Space Therapy Collective. Tara specializes in working with high-achieving women who experience anxiety and also works with couples and partners who are currently in or exploring non-monogamous relationships. As we dive into today's topic, please keep in mind that this is a mental health podcast. We will talk about sensitive and difficult issues that are not appropriate for all audiences. Please take care while listening. Welcome to My Therapist Is Out, in Open Space Therapy Collective podcast. We have Tara Friedman, one of our therapists, back with us today. So good to see you.
Good to see you.
And we are diving into burnout, which is something that we all experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're going to try and take a little bit of a different take on it today. We all have heard the, like, go take a bubble bath and paint your nails and quit your job and live on a ranch vibes. But that's only helpful to a point.
Yeah, when miracles can happen.
But before we dive in, why did you want to talk about burnout? Why do you think this is an important thing to bring up?
Well, I think it's important to describe some of the ways that burnout can look so that folks can compare that to what they're experiencing. If you don't know what's going on, burnout can be really confusing and really disheartening and feel really hopeless. So hopefully we bring some clarity so that if that's what's happening for you, then you at least know where you're starting from. And we want to talk about burnout in the queer community.
Yeah. Let's start with the stereotypical stuff. Like, what do people stereotypically know burnout is and how it happens?
Like working three jobs, getting 3 hours, 4 hours of sleep, not doing anything fun, and being really tired and grumpy and not being able to keep like all the plates spinning. Things are crashing down around you. You're burned out. And that's like the absolute most extreme, most visible.
Yeah. And that's a really important distinction, that that is the most extreme. Like, by the time you are at the point where you are working 24 hours a day, taking care of your kids or family or animals or whatever is going on, you can't pay the bills, you're exhausted and grumpy. Like, that is the end, the far end of the spectrum of changes were needed a long time ago.
That's like a 12.
Yeah. And so we're going to focus more in the middle, because in the middle feels really mucky and it's a little harder to understand. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody is a normal average person, has a job, maybe has a partner or two, has some pets, living life, nothing's really bad, but they're doing stuff all the time. What does burnout start to look like or feel like at that point?
Burnout can start to look like feeling like things you like to do are a chore. And that can also be tough to disentangle for people who experience depression, because that's also a feature of depression. Like, things that you used to find fun now feel like exhausting or pressure or an obligation.
Yeah. I know I experience of like kind of an emotional bandwidth issue of like people that I love to spend time with and hang out with. I'll get a call from somebody and I'm just like, ugh, which is not about them because they're great, but I just don't have the bandwidth to pick up the phone.
Yeah. It's like, I think a way to know if what you're feeling is burnout is if you usually press the gas pedal in your car and the car starts going. Okay. Burnout is when you press the gas pedal and there's that like Like it takes a while and it feels like a slog to get the car moving, and the car is you. That can be a sign that you're feeling burnout.
Yeah. Yeah. And like comparing it with depression, I feel like with depression, you're not even hitting the gas pedal.
No.
Yeah.
You're out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had a thought and then it disappeared.
Bye.
Bye.
What are different phases in life or different life experiences or situations that you see causing burnout for yourself or clients or friends?
People pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectionism. Yes. People pleasing. So
we lost a pillow.
Okay, people pleasing, perfectionism. So people pleasing is like long term doing things you don't want to do, or long term pushing yourself past your limit. And even if it's small things, even if you're like, yeah, but I just said yes to like another one more little task or one more little errand, one more little hangout. Yeah, multiply that by the weeks and the months that you're living that way. And eventually, long term, like the tanks, it's going to have a lot harder time filling back up.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you have people in your life that are also burned out because they're going to ask for more. And not that anything is wrong with that. But if everybody's burned out and nobody's taken the beats to take care of themselves in the way that they need to, now the whole group is burned out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a hard thing to balance to say, no, I can't help you to somebody you care about.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of an end to thinking about burnout in the queer community, is that any community, any marginalized community has to do more energetically, emotionally, logistically in their day. And expend more energy in that way. And so when you've got a whole community of people who are expending more resources, the odds of more people being burned out at the same time are high.
Yeah, absolutely. And people, like that burnout can create conflict within those relationships then. Because if everybody's got less emotional bandwidth and everybody's a little more grumpy and everybody's a little more snarky, and people aren't showing up or ghosting more often, it can really start to damage those very important relationships.
Yeah. And one of the ways that burnout can be not like necessarily long-term healed, but support in the moment can be social support. And so if the person that you're living with or the people that you go to for that social support are also like feeling the burnout, it's going to be harder for you to recuperate and get some relief.
Mm-hmm. One of the areas I think I see it a lot with the clients that I work with is kind of that transition from early career to mid-career.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the artists have gotten to the point where they've feeling a little more stable. They're getting more jobs. They're getting more recognition. They've been busting their ass for years to get to this point, and they feel like they need to keep going because they see the end goal even though they're not there yet, but then they're beating themselves up that they're not there and not acknowledging how far that they've come and don't quite have enough momentum to feel, quote unquote, feel solid in their career, even though most of them, I think all of them are. They're just in this weird like transition phase of not realizing there's a whole mid-career chunk of like refining the skill set before you get to that end phase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, because if anyone's experienced being like really busy, going on a trip and then coming home and finally having a minute and then getting sick, I think burnout can look really similar if you're pushing at 110% for years and then you're finally in a little bit more of a stable place. It can be confusing as to why now am I feeling exhausted and like reclusive and kind of over it, if now is when things are settling down. Like maybe now is the first time that you've had the luxury of feeling burnt out or the bandwidth to even notice that you're not feeling good.
Yeah, this is really similar with some trauma patterns, actually, is when somebody gets to a safer place or a more secure place, the experience of some of the PTSD symptoms can come up because now they have the ability to handle it. And similar, like if you're going on pure survival mode for years and then you get a little bit of breathing room and all of a sudden you're completely dead and can't type an email, it's going to be that same thing where your system's like, oh, we have a little bit of breathing room. We have a lot of rest to make up for because we've been running on fumes for years.
Mm-hmm. And I think we don't consider a lot in a capitalist society that expansion, that like go, 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 build the career, build the community, build the relationships, like even really positive things that are enjoyable can lead to burnout if you're on the gas for too long. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we often consider that kind of expansion, whatever area of your life it is not sustainable forever. Like life is not a constant trajectory of expansion. It's like expansion, you know, homeostasis, maybe contraction, maybe then some expansion. It's not going to always be go, go, go and grow, grow, grow. Mm-hmm. You got to take some beats. Think about your plants. Like I know queer people are listening and I know you all have plants. So think about like your plants aren't constantly popping out new leaves. They can't sustain that.
Yeah, it's a great example. They have an entire season of months and months of being dormant, and some of them even like go totally dormant and lose all their leaves and look like they're dead because mm-hmm. they need to like take a break. Mm-hmm. Why do we love plants so much?
First, they're beautiful. And they grow in their own way. Mm-hmm. They follow their own path, follow mm-hmm. the sun, mm-hmm. just like queer people.
Mm-hmm. You know, that is, I mean, not to go on a total tangent, that is something that I've found, I think, especially through the pandemic that I've carried through, is growing plants and taking care of plants has been a really restorative thing for me to help with burnout. Mm-hmm. And I spend at least a day a week for several hours just working with them because it is so quiet and soothing and meditative, and they are very patient with me and have a lot of flexibility, that's definitely something that I've leaned on when the week has been insane. I've done too many things and I just need a break. And I will lose hours, like happily lose hours just gardening and messing around with plants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's also empirically based too.
Oh, tell me more.
Because when we do things with our hands, like if you're a queer person who loves knitting, or plant tending, or gardening, or building, any of these things are part of the brain cycle that we get satisfaction as humans from doing something external, making something, interacting with the world in a very physical way, that lets the part of our brain that is panicked, burned out, stressed out, triggered, lets it calm down a little bit.
I did not know that. That's yeah. awesome.
And fun fact, there's also like the minerals and the chemicals and things in the dirt. Mm-hmm. If you have your hands in the dirt, our hands are porous and we're absorbing those things. And I'm guessing to reinforce growing things, our brains like those things. Mm-hmm. And we get happy hormones from dirt.
Nice. Huh. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should have
Tara's
like
fun facts. Yeah.
Fun fact series. Mm-hmm. What, so with people who tend to people please or who are kind of hitting that mid-career point, what are some ways that they can combat the guilt that's going to come with taking a break? Because a lot of what I know I hear in the room, and I'm curious what you're hearing, is, but I can do all of these things, so I need to do all of these things. I want to get to X place, so I need to keep going, otherwise I won't get there. And there's a lot of guilt around needing to take a break, even though they, quote unquote, can do these next five things.
Mm-hmm. You can, but at what cost? Mm-hmm. I think that's important to consider. It's like what you can rush and have a certain quality of life or a certain quality of emotional life. What would look different? How would it feel? What might feel different, better, if you were to slow down a little bit? There's this idea that it's automatically better to go as fast as possible. But consider what your experience might be. Like short term, for the moment that you're starting to take a break, if you're not used to taking breaks, like, yeah, it's going to feel really bad. It's going to feel unfamiliar. Maybe you need to practice taking breaks, build your tolerance. But once you get over that hump of like, oh, I'm taking a break, and all those thoughts are really loud, once you're in break zone, what if you actually felt better and enjoyed your life and your career more?
Mm-hmm. Right, because at this point, we're looking for a sustainable life. Mm-hmm. We're not looking for, we're going to sprint for the next 50 years. And yeah. I feel like the first, you know, especially your 20s, everybody in your 20s, I want to give you the biggest hug. It's a fucking disaster. Even if you are like the most put together person, it's a disaster. Your 20s are really hard. Mm-hmm. And the sprint that you have to do to emotionally grow up, to cognitively grow up, to build relationships and figure out what works, to do all of these things in your career, pretending that you know more than you actually do and faking it till you get there.
While your brain is still developing.
Yeah. It's a lot. And that's not how life should be, because it's not sustainable. Mm-hmm. A lot of what I hear from this group that we're kind of talking about, this Venn diagram of people we're talking about, is, well, I don't want to just sit around and do nothing. Like, that doesn't feel good. And so there are couch potatoes, and I can be one of them very happily. Rest doesn't mean sitting on the couch and doing nothing.
Yep. Yeah. It does not. Rest is essential. I'm going to bring it back to plants.
Yay.
Just like you talked about there being seasons for plants to go dormant or for them to stop growing and just maintain. Like that takes energy. And that is just as important. I don't know why, but also the cyclists in Tour de France is coming to my mind. No idea why. But those are individuals who are like athletes at a very high level. They push their bodies very hard. They have achieved incredible things that not on my, that's fine.
Good for them, but
yes,
no.
Good for them, very good for them. And like, you bet that those people are resting a lot. The body needs to catch up. And I think in our society, there's so much value placed on like grow, produce, consume, evolve. And it's hard to remember that an essential ingredient for growth is recovery. And if you don't recover, then you're going to run out of resources. You're going to run out of steam.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I love that you're bringing in athletes in this space, because every athlete knows this and builds this in. Every athletic coach knows this and builds this in. Growing up, my dad was a track and cross country coach for college. And so that was a part of how he coached. That's why the track season was only a few months out of the year and not constantly. Mm-hmm. And athletes do a really beautiful job of seeing rest and recovery days as part of the work and not as a contradiction of the work.
Yeah, it's not a luxury. It's essential. Mm-hmm. I also think about bakers. I love to bake. I was fully on the pandemic sourdough train. But it needs to rise. You mix, you bake, and there's rise time included. And it looks like nothing's happening. It's just a bowl on the counter, under a towel that, who knows, is magic. But you can't skip that phase. And it makes me wonder about the visible versus invisible. A lot of what we're talking about is the baked product or the cycling in the race or going to the track meet. And that's all the visible product, But there's tons happening internally that you don't see that goes into all of those things. And I think that's the part that this group that we're talking about has a really hard time with that invisible stuff, mm-hmm. and feeling like it's valid or important.
Mm-hmm. There's something, I've been trying to remember where I heard this from, and I unfortunately can't. But I heard a little while ago something that was really helpful and registered for me is if you think of where you want to go and who you want to be and what you want your life to look like, pick somebody who has a life close to that, right? Can be a cheesy famous person you don't know, it's fine. How do you think they're spending their time? What does their day look like? This successful person with these successful relationships and the successful career, whatever your goals are, what is their life like? Are they burnt out and running a million miles an hour? No, none of them are. They are balanced. They have people that are helping them. They take vacations. They brunch. And that is part of these bigger lives. And you don't go nonstop for years and decades and then all of a sudden do that. Mm-hmm. You also have to train yourself to do that, just as much as you have to train yourself to put in boundaries and nurture relationships and build whatever artistic or creative career skill that you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. That's not different than resting, socializing, vacationing, actually vacationing, not vacationing, and then needing a vacation from your vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's something that always sticks with me when I'm doing too much.
Totally. And I think that the only difference between, well, not the only, a big difference between the like go, go, go and the like rest and enjoy your life parts is what is praised societally. Like the happy to announce on Facebook or the bunches of likes, those, we're really conditioned to give those for like quantifiable accomplishments, and we're not conditioned to give those or get those or feel valid in our pursuit of enjoying life, enjoying our experience or taking care of ourselves in a way that might not look glamorous. Mm-hmm. So I think we're like socially, societally done a disservice in that way. And so people are having to construct internal value for something that externally kind of gets brushed under the rug.
The way that you're framing this isn't different than what we generally talk about, whether we're talking about like queerness or relationships or whatever, is really deconstructing what we're taught, deconstructing how our society is built, because it doesn't work. Like
and that's where the shame comes in.
Yeah. Having like careers that you're clocking in for 40 hours a week, but then doing an extra 30 hours and then being out in the scene so you're networking enough, like it doesn't work. And so just like you've deconstructed your sexual identity and your gender identity and your relationship identities, it's really important that you take that deconstruction thing that a lot of our community is really good at and also apply it here. Mm-hmm. Which is really tough because these are the kind of the last remnants where those of us in the queer community can get that external validation easily, even if it's people who struggle with, even if it's from people who struggle with our identities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think about the kind of benchmark, the societal like accomplishment benchmarks that we're told to strive for, and if you've done that deconstruction work around identity, orientation, relationship structure, that might mean grieving, letting go of some of those benchmarks. Marriage might not be what you're moving toward. Having a child or owning property or any of these things might look different for you if you're in our community, and they might be things that you still want, you want in a different way, you don't want, which can feel like even more pressure mm-hmm. on other areas of your life to gain that feeling of acceptance and approval.
Mm-hmm. This is tough.
Mm-hmm.
This is really tough. This is like, it's so layered because there's so much external stuff that we don't have any control over. and the onus is still on the individual to manage their own burnout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a pickle.
Mm-hmm. Let's just burn it all down.
Okay.
Yep. Great.
For legal purposes. We're kidding.
Well, thanks for talking about this. This is a strangely a more complicated one than other things that we talk about, because mm-hmm. there isn't a clear answer. There isn't, as much as mental health community and queer community and everybody, we're trying to figure out how to work with this and how to navigate this. It's still something that we all really, really struggle with. So thanks for diving deeper into this one.
Absolutely.
To end, do you have an example of connection with your queer community that helped rejuvenate you a little bit?
Oh, yes, I do. I have been going to a knitting group.
Amazing.
And we knit. It's a bunch of queer people knitting and eating snacks in a meadow. It's gorgeous.
I feel like that's the like queer Valhalla.
Valhalla?
Valhalla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Not swords. Knittings and snacks.
Yeah. Knitting needles, not swords. Yep.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us today. Please rate, review, subscribe. I know it's silly, but it helps. And we will see you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us. If you're in California and looking for a therapist, visit our website at openspacetherapycollective.com and book a free intro call with one of our therapists. If you're enjoying My Therapist Is Out, please rate, review, and follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. My Therapist Is Out is an Open Space Therapy Collective podcast. Our therapists are Renee Johnson, Kristen Crow, Debbie White, Jenny Nigro, and Tara Friedman. Our podcast editing is done by Smash and Grab Studio. We'd love to hear from you about today's topic, so you can email us at info@openspacetherapycollective.com. You can find us on TikTok and Instagram at My Therapist Is Out and Open Space Therapy Collective. Thanks for listening.